Our listeners really have no idea, due to our posterity approach to episode release, and most of your listeners are presumably listening from the end of time, which is when the critical mass of universal population will happen, so it just stands to mathematical reason. You don't have any way, is what I'm saying, to know how long it's been since Chris and I last recorded, so you have no way to know whether or not we just did an episode, or whether we're catching up for the first time in a while, and whether or not I'm doing this extended preamble as a way to get back into the general energy of doing a podcast. You'll never know. Chris, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I really hope that whoever is listening is like struggling to understand our vernacular. Like, you know, they have a vague understanding that, oh yeah, this seems to be, this is like, you know, New English, but it's got some archaic, you know, syntax and things like that. And they have to refer to, I don't know, I was going to say a guidebook, but maybe that in itself, a book is something that will be overtaken, Nick.
That's it. Maybe at the very least, I hope that our intermittent references to improv comedy are met with head scratching about something that has been not only made long extinct, but has been redacted from all history books for the safety of the populace.
Unlike Tarzos.
That's right. They've just heard, they're like, oh, finally a reference we get, Tarzos. The things that we eat here at the end of time.
What?
You never tried to eat a Tarzo, Chris?
How else did That's you say why... immortal? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They try to not let you know. Any ideas of what to rank? I can do the usual picking a few things from the ideas to rank list here on my
Secret
phone.
Secret societies. I just thought of it because maybe Tarzo's, you know, when you said they didn't tell you. It's like, who's they?
Not bad.
Secret societies. Secret societies. Other ideas that we could rank hobbies. We could rank honors, like awards and things. Titles.
Yeah. I reckon either awards. I want to honor the fact that you have some this time by ranking awards. Pinging through the ether like a giant emotion. This lotion. Sometimes commotion, sometimes locomotion. Rank ideas. Take them to the bank ideas.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening. Wherever you are in the physical realm or in time, the temporal realm, those things are connected, I've read. You're listening to the Rank Ideas podcast, and that is a great decision because this is the greatest podcast that you'll ever listen to. And that is assuming that you've listened to every other podcast, that still holds us true because it's the only podcast in the world that has myself, Chris Andry, and my dear friend, sibling even, Nick Deladovic. And we are on a quest, and that quest is to rank every single idea from the canon of human ideas in an ever-expanding list in order from best to worst. And today, in exactly the right spot, just as a coincidence, we're going to put the idea of awards. Nick.
We're in the ranking realm.
We are. Welcome to it.
I'm glad to be here. Would you like to try a crack at defining awards, or would you like me to try?
you go for it.
Yeah, cool. So an award or awards are a symbolic or token or very heavily invested with a lot of significance, but they are generally, I think, symbolic or token recognition or rewarding or giving to of something that signifies eliteness, longevity. What are other things that get awarded? Primacy. And
I don't think you have to worry about what it is, because it can be anything. It can be whatever's valued in a particular space. Yeah, I think it's more about it's like a systemic acknowledgement.
Yeah, and it is given. I'd say a really key part of it. It is given to explicit and specific person or persons. So it's about really, it's a way of carving out people from the larger group. By awarding them, by giving them some kind of recognition moment or statuette or trophy. Again, there's a lot of like, but again, there's often a physical award, but the physical award is just the emergent, solid expression of the conceptual award. It is very much an idea. Does that seem right though?
Yeah, sometimes they're... Not only sometimes, I'd say very often they're also accompanied by material benefits. Like, you know, say you've...
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe historically, if you were awarded, you know, a particular title, that might come with land and responsibility, or if you, you know, if you're awarded a Nobel Prize, you get something like $1 million. So I don't think it's that's not an uncommon part of it, but it's not the whole part of it. Obviously, it could exist independently.
It's not the whole part of it, and yeah, and I feel like just a reward or a giving of wealth in and itself is not an award. Like as in, you know,
no,
like your salary at your job or
even a bonus pay is not really the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. When the assassin is paid to kill me, they are not being awarded so much, even though if assassination was regulated by the government, it would still be referred to as an award rate. So there is semantic language things at play, but yeah, I think it's, as you say, it feels like the recognition bit is the central bit. Does that seem right, or is there an even more central bit than that?
No, it's that, but it is insane to think that with certainty there would be an award rate for assassins out there, like because government states have assassination programs, and there would be some standardized pay scale.
Yeah,
What's the Australian Workers Agreement or whatever, the proposal where everybody negotiates their individual. You know, you can't do that constantly if you're an assassin. You need some sort of conditions.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, even a Black Danger Ops pay. Wet Works slush fund would still have some kind of bureaucratic regulation. You're right. Mm. Even if it's just regulated by what the market can bear.
And thank goodness.
It'll be good to rank. But we will be ranking assassinations in the future in an episode that's not this one. So what do we think? What initial impressions about awards, either formalistically or qualitatively, Chris?
Well, I guess there's... The existence of them creates a dynamic instantly where, because they are acknowledgements and markers of something that is a real thing, which is difference in performance or value or whatever in specific spheres. And by recognizing that, that confers also a sort of social status, which in turn means that people will be incentivized to pursue those things. And like, it's tough because, you know, awards in and of themselves are not going to be, there's no sort of universal fairness or universal justice in their distribution or what they even exist for. And so I think that there's sort of an unevening effect that's not going to be optimal. But at the same time, I think that's only as much a problem as the awards themselves are revered. For example, like if you decide to only listen to music that's been awarded a Grammy, then you're an idiot, like, because it's so obviously, whilst that is a signifier of something, you know, perfectly good music for you, or in fact music that is universally enjoyed at a higher rate, will for whatever reason not be awarded such acknowledgement. And so there's that kind of unevenness, but at the same time, because there is a social capital to it, say for example, if I tell you that, you know, sitting next to you at the dinner will be a silver medalist from the Olympics, or sitting next to you from the dinner will be someone who does rowing, one is more compelling than the other, perhaps, unless you're really into rowers or whatever. But yeah,
the story is more potent.
The story is more potent. Yeah, and that person will that award will open more doors for that person in their life as well, which then leads to the thing that I was saying at the top, which is, people can gear their behavior just to get awards, which is can be a bit grubby and also off the point of what those awards exist for.
I like this as one to rank because I feel like on a list where we currently have competition at 26 and fairness down at like 100 and in the 100 and teens out of 30 ideas, you know, which paints a picture of us being very embracing of a world where there are uneven outcomes resulting from people's endeavor. I feel like this is a great one to rank to force us to have to contend with all the cost-laden realities of that. And I probably just say that because it's hard not to have a critical view of awards or a kind of ick feeling around awards as someone who works in like creative practice in the arts. Because the way that awards happen in those spheres in our current human history get so skeezy. And again, we're not ranking awards as they currently exist. We are positing what the best, we will talk at what the best version of them could be and how the right placement on the list will allow for that best version. But it is still, I still feel compelled to talk about my personal observation of awards in that zone and in that field, because A, there's the bit that you just identified, which isn't just restricted to the arts, which is once the awards exist and once they're afforded with a narrative of potency, i.e., oh, if I have that award, then people are going to take me seriously knowing nothing else about me other than I have that award, then a lot of people are going to gear their behaviors towards winning those awards, which creates just warped self-selection processes in an environment. Like, it just makes people, you know, it, at the very least, it leads to a lack of thoughtful analysis about why you're doing what you're doing. If you're just, if the award is the organizing principle for doing it, any of the award structures that currently exist in the arts are kind of done in a sort of reductive way where certain things, very unexamined things, get awarded over things that might be more, it might be more juicy to celebrate and to elevate. You know, like a low stakes example that is high stakes for a lot of people in their particular chosen field is the idea of, you know, like the Oscars, like the main award, the main Western award for film is, you know, tends to elevate serious and heavy feeling thematic dramas over comedies, whereas you could just as easily argue that comedies are, you know, the classic argument is that comedies are actually more difficult to execute well. You know, everything that you just talked about with the Grammy example. And then, yeah, like also just, awards. The other thing that frequently happens in our actual world that we're in is that awards become institutions, like the organization, either institutions are the ones who start giving out the awards in the first place, or once an award exists, then there is a bureaucratic and logistical institution that builds up around it. And then those institutions have power, and the makeup and the default makeup and kind of internal biases of those institutions decide who get awarded and not. And again, that's really just, it's just an example of the unequal distribution of resources, as is among many in our current society, but it is one. And, I guess the question is, can you imagine versions of, awards that are less costly than the current ones? I absolutely can. I remember, a few years back being asked to take part in the, like, a local Canberra Music Awards, and that was being run just the default way that music awards are run, by having nominees and then a single winner out of each nominee category. And the first suggestion I made was just, I just asked, I'm like, why are they nominees? Like, why have a nominee process? Why tell five people they might get an award and only give it to one? Why not just straight up decide who you're going to give an award to, contact them directly with no suspense, say, come along tonight, we're going to give you an award, and just trust that that is as potent, that trust that you can have a celebratory great event that a lot of people will come to without having to have a game show mechanic, suspense mechanic. You know, that's just one simple way that, you know, it just shows that that they can be done in different ways. But otherwise,
that's what so do you funny. Think about you, that you and line? I are so, such undermining bullies for the visions of the world that we want. Just because I have a really comparable story. For maybe 10 years ago or 11 years ago, I was also asked to be, you know, involved in a local music award thing like that. And the first thing I said was like, why are there nominees and people have to pay to nominate? I'll just flat up pay for every 200 artists that I can think of that it's in the city to be nominated, because it's ridiculous that wouldn't be the case. And they rejected that as a proposition at the time.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even reject mine. They just stopped contacting me.
Yeah. Like,
they just went on without me, which, you know, was my judgment of what would happen. It was fine.
Yeah.
But to me, there's no strong counter argument to that other than, well, as you say, I mean, that's a pretty extreme example of them just literally just trying to get people to invest. Well, I mean, even if you aren't getting people to buy their own nominations, once these awards are institutional, everything from a sporting award to an arts award to an academic fellowship that, you know, and again, a lot of these things come with, like, wealth is part of what you get. You get material prizes. It's funny saying prizes now. Awards and prizes are a little different to each other. That's fun. That's
for sure. Like,
prizes can be its own a separate ranking. But yeah, the awards, once they're the thing that people are shooting for, people are having to outlay cost to even try and get them. Like, you know, by a lot of major, quote unquote, major awards in the world, once people have achieved them, they've really if you were to, you know, weigh the economic cost of everything they've put in to get there, it's a high cost. And I mean, maybe that's not that profound a thing to say when achieving anything at an ambition of scale is going to be extremely cost laden, but it is, you know, what the award is doing is making people target that award rather than whatever else they might theoretically target.
And potentially. I mean, some of them are a bit more immune to that than others. What's a good example? I'm just trying to think, like, you know, say you wouldn't set out to, I want to be the finals MVP for the NBA, because like, that's such a secondary, it's such an obviously secondary
goal.
From I want to play well in my team so that we win the championship.
I think that's
you,
right.
Like you wouldn't be undercutting your behavior to win a championship just so that you could get the finals MVP, and like you wouldn't be happier with that and lose the championship. So there are awards that are like that.
That's a really good point, is that almost all of the fields that we can imagine in the real world, there are the kind of formal awards. Then all of them overlap kind of almost semi awkwardly with like a bunch of other potential elite achievements in that arena. Like, you know, I guess, yeah, here's the question. Like, is an Olympic gold medal an award, or is it a prize? What is it? Yeah, this is fun to pass. Like, or is it just, you know, like, is it just the highest level of achievement in that zone, you know? Like, is there something about awards that are more specifically about,
I think it is an award. I think it is an award. Yeah. I think it has to be, because I think it is too. Yeah. Because if it didn't exist, then, and I told you, you know what, actually, I'm the fastest person to run 200 meters in the world. And someone would be like, good for you. Like, wow, that's really something. That must be tough to do. I'm like, I'm sure no one can else do it in this time. It's like, it's incredible what I can do. I'm like, oh, that's great. But because there is a structure built around it and it's an award, like there's a mechanism to acknowledge it and to celebrate it. At the pinpoint of the moment. Because it's also another interesting thing, really, like I wonder how many world record holders there are that never won an Olympic gold, like in an event that is in the Olympics, that never got the gold for it. And, you know,
yeah,
so it is, you know, and I think I think maybe that exact example is a good instance of the tension that we have here, which is that the awards, they typically don't perfectly match the, thing that they purport to, which is a big knock on them in terms of where they get to sit in the ranking, because purportedly gold medalist for 200 meter running, this person is the best in the world at doing this. Okay. But last year somebody ran it a bit quicker. They just had the cold today, or like, you know, there's all these external factors that don't necessarily mean that the award is well mapped to the outcome. And similarly, I'm sorry to the people who better know the history of this than me, but say, you know, we all recognize evolution as Darwinian evolution, but, you know, I think Alfred Wallace had a similar theory simultaneously, but there's no real record, there's not as significant recognition for him in the same way. Like, you know, you could be the best at something and not be recognized for any number of reasons, and somebody else will be recognized for it, and that will just open entire realms of possibility for them that are unjustly distributed, which is kind of the problem with the whole thing, because you can never really have full perfect information in most spheres in which awards are given.
That's right. And this is why, like, because, you know, the one ranking on the list that not only are we so confident of, but it's the one idea that we thought about changing the ranking to be even lower is fairness. Like, for those who, if this is your first episode, I know that might be a cold splash of water in the face. You can track not just across our fairness episode, but across most of the episodes that have been at all adjacent to the idea of fairness, you know, all of our reasons for knowing that fairness is bad and corrosive and insidious. But yeah, like, again, it is great. The cost-laden impossibility of, accurately creating institutional criteria to judge things as qualitatively better or worse than each other is something that has to be contended with, and which can't be perfectly excised from even a perfectly ordered society based on a optimal rank list of ideas. So I think, contending with it by looking at these ideas and ranking them properly is as and by ranking properly, having the right calibrating ideas above them and the right negative force multiplier ideas below them. Well, it's what we do here. But I think you hit some really key nails on the head there, Chris, and one of them is absolutely that idea that you know, the as you said, you voiced one of the very specific arbitrary ways that people come up with selection criteria for rewards, one of which is just temporal. The idea of it's like, oh, best result in that category this year, or you know, or every 4 years or whatever in this quarter, which is both, it's a way to do it and it's a perfectly reasonable way to do it, but it's also utterly arbitrary. As you say, like the year before someone might have done a more elite performance, or you know, like, yeah, particularly, again, going back to arts awards, you know, people might be like, oh, kind of a lean year of nominees. And then the other thing is the idea of, yeah, the reductive nature of just picking one winner in, even if you've got a bunch of categories that you've broken the things down in, just having one winner, whereas, yeah, where the difference between the person who is judged as the winner and the person who might have been almost judged as the winner in a lot of cases might be highly arguable and debatable in a fun way, to the point where, yeah, it might be hard to present an objective distinction between them, you know, in the way that you could in, say, a running race. And I do, obviously, I recognize that the whole concept of nominees is a way to contend with that, is a way to try and make awards more fun by being like, oh, we can recognize a bunch of other people as being kind of in the arena of, in the idea space of doing the thing. For the reasons that I've said, I just think that that's a bad mechanic. Like, it's a mechanic to try and achieve something, but it's an awful one. And nominees for awards should be done away with and replaced with a better system. But yeah, really just plus oneing your points on that, Chris. What else do we need to raise and discuss about and awards?
Just back on the model of nominees. One nice way that that's dealt with, I think, is in a lot of awards and in you know, like at the Royal Show or whatever, you've got your winner, they know, and then you've got your commendation. Like, you also did really well. Like, that's really what's being said at the end of the day anyway. So it's kind of cruel to gear it up to be like, oh, well, you know, we looked at what you're doing. And in fact, we're looking at it again because it's really good. It's not worth it. We're not awarding it though.
Yeah, which, I mean, and then I flip around and go, well, then if you have a bunch of commendations available, then why pick a winner? Why not just have...
Yeah, sure, just have commendation. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are still ways, I think, and this is what we're missing in terms of what's good about awards, which is, if we can conceive of this model, then it is, I mean, there'll still be problems because, you know, so, okay, well, what's your model for commendations and, you know, how do you acknowledge everything and also just the very types of outlier behaviors or outlier performances or outlier contributions or whatever, you know, they may also not necessarily be the most weighted contributors to group well-being or to individual success or whatever it is. As what I'm kind of getting towards is, like, you know, awards by nature don't account for whole swathes of human behavior that is really important to acknowledge and recognize and to model, which is of course the point of, or one point of awards. So say, for example, you know, this person was the most caringest to someone else in a time of need in a way that was completely invisible. Like I think I'm sure that there are examples of people trying to give such awards, but it's not as clear as, this person lifted the most weight above their head. Like clear thing to demarcate. I feel like this and the other drawbacks that we've discussed are pretty known and pretty obvious to most people. I think what's worth talking about is the pluses of having awards, which are also real. Yep. I think because, you know, one of the reasons we're so down on fairness is because the world isn't fair. And as a result, you know, one of the, the ways, and that's obvious, is that people make different contributions and do different and have different capacities. And it is nice to have spaces to acknowledge and celebrate those. Say, for example, if you know, if somebody does crack some difficult math problem that people have been working on for, you know, maybe thousands of years, and then that leads to a bunch of benefits for everybody, it is worth having a moment to say, well, isn't that great, rather than you know, just leave it in the domain of Well, so, yeah, that's their job. They should be doing math things. They're a mathematician. Like, no, you know, someone did put exceptional hard work in with their exceptional outlier ability, and we all get to benefit. Or, I think that it is nice to have totems and touchstones to sort of recognize that things across society, particularly for people who aren't in the arenas. Like, I feel like I don't follow films or acting or anything like that, as you know. But when the Oscars are on, I'll be interested to see what people are doing. And similarly, because it's a big story, you know, it's a catchy thing. And so these are the films and you know, I'm not like, oh, those must be the only things that are good. I'm like, oh, those are the things that people are being recognized for. That's interesting. And similarly, you know, I'm also not a physicist, but when the Nobels are on, I'll read about what, you know, the winning physics team or individual has done in that year, and typically not understand it at all. But it's nice to have a way to sort of jump across away from my own type and world to, I guess, you know, it's not like I'm going down the street with garlands of flowers telling everybody about these people, but it is still a celebration.
Bringing that up, that idea of what it is for the people outside of a field to have as a handle to understand and observe eliteness in that field. I like that. To me, that elegantly captures all the good and all the bad, because as you say, it creates that sense of, it's a narrative handle and it's a story which allows people's eliteness to be seen and understood to some extent out of whatever their little niche might be, which is like lovely and fun. And then also, it's absolutely a reliable recipe for people outside the field to just to have a reductive
shorthand sort of misunderstanding.
Captured shorthand misunderstanding. It's both things. But also, you know, just backing up to everything that's nice about it and all the ways that I'm implicated in it. Like awarding people is fun. Like, you know, like receiving awards sure is fun. Mm-hmm. But for me, like someone like me, the idea, if you ask me to come up with awards to give, hey Nick, do you want to be the person who comes up with the awards for this event to give to some people? As long as I didn't have to do nominees or anything awful like that, I would be like, yeah, that'd be fun. I'd love to do that. And I have done that, you know, like in my, you know, and just in fun, light ways, like, you know, in my kind of coaching, like I used to run in the same way that just coming, making things into competitions is fun. Particularly when you can calibrate all of the, you know, all of the more toxic things that might creep in around that. For years, the strength groups I run at the gym where I work, we would every now and then I used to call them not comps, just as part of, you know, me being my obnoxious me, but I would run little Saturday morning periodical powerlifting comps for all the people who were learning the powerlifting technique. And I would just come up with enough different ways to award people, like enough mini awards, like best this, best that, to make sure that everyone there got some kind of award. What I would really do is see how everyone, get a sense of how everyone was training and have a good prediction of all the different things I'd be able to award. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would look at that and roll their eyes at the idea of like everyone gets a trophy day. But to
I love
really,
that.
It's
I feel like on sports trips and things like that, you know, first to the spaghetti award, you know, like I just feel like,
yeah,
this is great. This is making me even warmer on them rather than just there being demarcations of the ways that we typically see them. And I feel like even those types of awards are very common. Like people on group trips, I feel like I often see will have little ceremonies and things like that for each other.
Yeah, there's this is my take. I can see people rolling their eyes at it. It's imperfect in its own way, but if that question at the start of like, what's a better version of how you could do awards? I mean, that's a version to me is just like award everyone, but not defaultly, like thoughtfully, like really look at every human and being like, what award are you uniquely earning right now, through your unique behaviors? And, you know, in a profound way, in a silly way, in a fun way, like it's fun. And, in 6 weeks time with, the wrestling club in town, cause the ACT wrestling, we have four different gyms that run wrestling classes that, you know, all are where the coach is a member of ACT wrestling. And we're having our third annual inter-club challenge, which was my idea, which, you know, where we just get together and have a friendly, like meet where all the gyms, where the four gyms you know, wrestlers compete against each other, and it's mostly for the beginners. It's for people who haven't been doing it as long. And we have a trophy at the end that, and whoever wins, whichever team wins, you know, the point system that we come up with, is then Canberra's best wrestling gym for a year. And, you know, like it's a, yeah. And it's that, that idea, you know, I did it because I knew more people would compete if there was more people would go in the comp. And again, I don't care about winning, about my gym and my team winning Canberra best wrestling team over the others. What I care is about a lot of people who I know would have fun coming and trying some competition and get out of their heads around all the things that might gum up their desire to go to competition. I know that putting that fun kind of represent your gym and be and try and get that award will make more people do it. So it's an engagement mechanic, which again, that's cost laden as well. Like leaning into something that, that has that much potency, you know, you're just propping up the award brainworm in a way, but at the same time, like I'm doing it and it's fun and people are going to have a fun time. And, yeah, and there's a lot of scope for me to, me as the space maker there, I can be doing a lot of work of calibration around there to emphasize the right things and de-emphasize the right things around that. Sorry.
No, sorry. I just think of what you're saying is exactly the essence of sort of where I think it's going to sit in the list, which is, and why the list element of it is so important, because, okay, in your hands, these awards sound like they're a great thing, but I can equally imagine that exactly the same framework in the hands of, you know, a robot that didn't know about the idea of everybody should also have fun, or, you know, I want everyone to improve, or, you know, building a community is important. If you don't have those sorts of considerations, then it can easily be a terrible or an uninteresting element. So I think we should jump into the list and get some rankings, because I think we're there, and I'm pretty warm on it.
With
caveats. Yeah.
It does feel with caveats, but it really just feels like the one where it just feels like one that in our current world is super cost laden. Often bad, but doesn't have to be. Like on a list like we're doing, you can, it feels like the best version of itself can be curated by the list, and it can be quite high. So going to the list, I think it is going to be down from competition, which is currently number 26. I feel like going way down from there, the other idea that I thought of, 40 at 47 we have special, which is an very interesting one.
Yeah,
very, very comparable. My first instinct is that that's above, just because
I agree, for sure.
Because it gives you a good framing. Like special again, also not a cost laden idea, but the recognition, yeah, again, having an ability to recognize, it's the idea that really folds in. The reason that we're doing awards is because even though it has pros and cons, the ability to identify a person or persons as special in specific ways is juicy and fun and good, and has a lot of nice things. And if you want to know more about what our thoughts on that, go and listen to our episode on special. Going above that, playing it cool is the idea above that. You've got harnessing electricity a bit above that. Like this, that all feels, you know, up above. So I'll just take a quick burn, because it's always good to read out a large chunk of the list for new listeners or for people who have who are trying to keep track of where things are ranking. So going down from special at 46, under special we have fornication, ownership, intelligence, pragmatism, respect, self-defense, analogy, small talk, hyperbole, got a lot of good ideas, folly, boredom, taxes, acting, academia, psychology, harm, pets, gyms, pornography, intersectionality, heroes, social media, pacifism, esports, the male is down at sort of halfway-ish mark, 20, 40, 60, 72 is male, which I stopped at because it tends to hold strong as our sort of midpoint idea.
Also, I feel like a few of those were clearly below it and most of those were clearly above it.
Yeah, I think so too. So going back up from male, and you just stop me around when you have a bit of a feel, Chris. So going up from male, esports, pacifism above that, social media above that, heroes above that, intersectionality, pornography, gyms, pets, harm, psychology, academia, acting, taxes, boredom.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah, folly, hyperbole, small talk, analogy. Yeah, I literally there was a big drop off where I was like, oh, this is the sort of thing underneath hyperbole, which you know I massively. Same. Yeah, small talk, hard ceiling. It's not as good as small talk. I don't think it's as good as hyperbole either. So, I feel like folly, that was a fun episode to talk about the idea of just just having a sense of the idea that most things aren't a good idea and that the risk of the things that we are getting inspired and fired up to do as being highly likely to hit a wall of unintended consequences at least and really blow up in our faces at worst is always high. Again, that feels a bit better to me. And then, down from here, I feel like it could be better than any of these ones underneath.
Yeah, I think so. Because that's like, folly's better, but it's not significantly better. Yeah.
It's definitely better than taxes, I think. And acting, academia, psychology, harm. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about there's a bit of a galaxy in these, in between a couple of these.
Yeah, there is. I felt it in my body, the sub hyperbole drop off.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Exactly. What do you think about below folly and above boredom?
Yeah, I think it's right on.
Yeah, I do really think it's right on. That's great. Cause like, our boredom episode 100, there was, boredom's one of those ones where you're really ranking how useful is it to have it as a classification and as of what's going on in the world and, you know, not unuseful, the other thing with boredom is it's as a handle, it's one of those ones that the thing kind of exists pretty strongly without the handle, anyway, as much as it's kind of clarifying that, whereas you kind of, you know, you need the idea of awards or the awards aren't going to exist in the same way.
I'd also like to say that, one that might seem comparable, which is just a bit further below, is Heroes. But I don't remember exactly what we talked about in the episode, but I can imagine that the reason that this sits above that is because Heroes has sort of baked into it sort of an upvoting of the and veneration that I don't think awards have to at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I will have heard of someone who's won a big award and know the work they've done it for and be like, well, I don't give a shit about that at all. Like, that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Whereas you can't say that about your own hero.
That's right. Yeah.
This person means nothing to me. They're my hero.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot more buy-in in a way that could tend towards the insidious at worst.
Yeah.
And again, we didn't dunk massively on Heroes, but it was it's still a good concept
for all the reasons that, you know, and for stronger, the good elements of Heroes are potentially stronger than the good elements of awards, but a bit riskier.
Yeah. Just a bit riskier. Yeah. Well put and well ranked. So sorry, let me name the exact number on the list now.
I'll allow it.
So thank you. 40, 50, 59, the new 59. A storied number.
It's big news for all the 59 heads out there.
That's right. Finally, they can stop listening.
We had an old wonderful. We've had that for months now.
It's true. Chris, we've done it again. It's relieving to me to always do it perfectly. Re-nicing to catch up with you to do the podcast.
Oh, pleasure. The pleasure is, I don't want to say it's exclusively mine, but it is for sure also mine.
Thanks. I know that our listeners always enjoy listening to the podcast, even those listeners amongst our group who are pigs. But calling people pigs is so funny because it's like, what are you even saying? I mean, I know, because I know a lot of people like, do you mean police? I'm not even talking about that. I'm just referring to humans as pigs because it's sometimes I've heard people do it in the past and it's just very funny.
I thought you meant literal pigs.
It's mean and ill-defined. No literal pigs listen to this podcast, despite my tireless efforts, Chris, but maybe we'll turn that around.
Well, I mean, 100% of our marketing does go to pigs.
Yeah. That's
we need a strategy discussion off mic.
I know, I told you it would work. It didn't work.
Who's even bigger than humans? Pigs.
It's like, I didn't realize they just meant in terms of like edible mass.
Mass. Yeah. All mass is edible if you're committed.
Yeah.
Bye. Sometimes commotion, sometimes locomotion, rank ideas.